Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm going to say today, bestselling author Joss Day.
And we're best friends. Hello. How are you?
Okay. Cold. It's super cold.
It's so cold. Oh, my God.
I had to wear my Uncle Fester coat today when I was walking the dog. My Uncle Fester coat is a coat that makes me look like Uncle Fester. Right up to the neck, right down to the ankles. Mm. Shapeless.
It sounds so warm.
It was fabulous. It's the only way I can do it.
I was in my flannel pajamas last night under a blanket with a scarf around my neck. And, you know, we keep the house warm enough.
Yeah.
But it was just so bitter cold. And my dog goes outside. Poor Luther, he doesn't have fur like Glory. Mm. His little bitty fur. And he puffs up. He looks so cute.
Trying to stay warm.
Porcupine. Oh. His little thin coat puffing up. He's not a cold weather dog.
No, he needs a sweater.
He has one, but it doesn't really
help. Not enough. Okay.
No.
Meanwhile, this dog was sleeping outside last night.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we have quite a long letter this week.
Yes.
And we are thrilled. Thank you. Send us your letters to theladies@crappyfriends.net.
That's us.
And we love hearing your stories about good friends, bad friends.
Yeah.
And don't forget, we're having a Galentine's Day party.
Galentine's Day.
Crappy Friends on Facebook.
Right.
Join us. We're going to do a Facebook Live.
Yeah.
Bring your cheap Chardonnay.
Yeah.
Dress in pink or don't.
Yeah. Questions or not. We're
questions,
here to chat.
We're just going to just hang out and chat.
Yeah.
So it's going to be on the Facebook page, which is Crappy Friends.
Yeah.
So this week we're dividing up the letter because it is a bit long.
Yeah.
And Joss, why don't you read the first part?
Okay. Dear ladies, I love, love, love you so much. Aww. I found your podcast about a month ago and listened almost all of your episodes. Your voices, your laughs make me feel like you're already my friends and will understand me.
Lovely. So nice.
Here is the story of one of my crappy friends. Not sure if she is crappy or me. Let's dig into it. Four of us are friends for the last 10 years. Me, Julie, Tammy, and Millie. Not real names for anyone.
Good.
We became friends when we all had started our master's in the same university in 2010. We grew up in the last 10 years, got married, had kids. All of our kids are pretty much the same age, all between 6 months and 2.5 years old. All four of us had different pregnancy and postpartum times, but during that time, we became closer than ever. As Millie and I moved to another province a few years ago, we were mostly talking in chats. We used our Facebook Messenger group to rant, complain, offer baby tips, talk about struggles, frustrations, gossip, mostly about everything. There were times when we would go online at 3 a.m. and we would see everyone is awake because the babies were up. To be honest, I had really bad postpartum anxiety. I went to therapy, but my 24/7 therapy were my friends, and I was their therapy too. It was going great until there was a big fight between Julie and Tammy. Personality-wise, Julie is someone who wants to be everything perfect. Everything around her needs to meet her criteria. Always goes by the list and by the book. Basically, she's Monica from Friends.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, Tammy is quite low maintenance and just simple. So just a bit of backstory about the fight. When Julie was having her baby, Tammy planned to throw her a baby shower, a not so surprise baby shower, where you know they're throwing you a party, but no, don't know the details. Is that a thing?
I don't know.
Okay. I don't know. Tammy did everything she could. She organized the party, decorated the stage and the hall, cooked foods. My heavens.
Wow.
Planned games, invited Julie's friends. Julie's husband and some of their other friends also helped her. Unfortunately, me and Millie couldn't be there as we were living in another province. As Julie's husband was helping Tammy with the decorations, he snapped some images of the decorations and sent them to Julie the night before the baby shower. Julie was not happy at all with the decorations. She had something else, something better in her head. So she gave instructions to her husband and other friends to redecorate the hall and the stage without telling Tammy anything because Julie didn't want to hurt her feelings.
Oh my God.
Because Julie's husband had access to the hall, he and Julie's other friends redecorated everything in the morning of the baby shower. So when Tammy came into the hall, she realized everything was changed. Later, someone told her that it was Julie's idea because she didn't like Tammy's designs. Tammy didn't say anything, not even after the baby shower. She was just expecting an apology from Julie. The distance started to grow then, but surprisingly, Julie had no idea what was happening. After 2 years in our group chat, the baby shower topic came up, and Tammy confronted Julie about this. Julie was sorry and apologized sincerely, but she also said a hell of a lot of hurtful things to Tammy, too, like she's immature and can't get over things easily and stuff, which partly true, but is still hurtful. Tammy also didn't keep quiet, and the fight was really nasty. After that, Tammy left the group chat, and now Millie and I have two separate groups to maintain. Mm. We didn't take any sides because we are mature and nice. Here's my story. I work full time. My baby goes to daycare. So between 9 and 5, I'm busier than ever trying to do all the work of a mother and a wife by myself. After that, when it comes to nights, it's even more horrible. My 2-year-old still doesn't sleep through the night. He wakes up multiple times and cries for hours. Oh, honey. So after an exhausting day and a sleepless night, when it is morning again and I go to my office, it feels so relaxing just to sit in the quiet and have a coffee.
Continuing.
Yes.
After the fight between Tammy and Julie, Tammy moved on with other friends, but Julie didn't. She became totally alone and sad.
Mm.
So I felt really bad for her and wanted to be there whenever she needed me. My job requires me to keep my phone near me all the time, and I am always on and off between calls. So I was mostly prompt to reply whenever there is a notification. But maybe I was being too available. Last week, when we were chatting about random things, Julie suddenly said she knows 2 people who are always online, her husband and me. Then she continued as, in her words, "People who are always online don't give their family enough time, and they are not efficient at work because their minds are always diverted." Then she told Millie, "You are okay, Millie, as you don't waste too much time on your phone." I was so shocked and had no idea where she was going, so I didn't reply much. Then she called me after 30 minutes and apologized. She said, "I'm sorry, but I didn't mean it to you. Sometimes chat words sound different." I said, no, I completely understand it. It's okay. But honestly, it wasn't. Those words hurt me tremendously. I don't feel like talking to her or in the group anymore. I also don't want another apology because I know what she said was somewhat right, but it was not a constructive intervention. It was a full-on insult. What should I do? I apologize for my English as it is not my first language. By the way, it's perfect. You have nothing to apologize for.
Yeah, no kidding.
Signed, a friend who is too available.
Okay.
All right, too available. We got you here.
Yeah.
Heard you loud and clear.
Can I start at the end?
Yeah.
I don't think it's wrong for you to be on your phone all the time. I mean, especially if it's for work.
Yeah.
I think that was a terrible assumption that Julie made about you.
Yes. So you might be, using your phone a lot for work.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you are online as you're working.
Yeah.
That's a possibility. But for her to say you're on your phone too much,
yeah,
when she expects immediate response from you whenever she needs you,
right,
and that you've been giving that to her and then be criticized for it, I absolutely understand why you're hurt.
Yeah. She just doesn't seem, I don't know, that I understanding, think, particularly as she's part of this mom group.
Right. And, you guys have set this precedent of we're always there for each other. But now you do have a child and you have a husband and you have a full-time job. Your hands are full. And this is the time when your friends should get less of you.
Yeah.
And I say that as a mom myself, whose friends are incredibly important to me. But when the kids are little and when you're stretched thin, the kids come first, family comes first, and friends come after.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for your own mental health and stress levels that you should probably set a couple of times a week when you do interact with the group and not have it be a knee-jerk reaction to just check in,
right,
or see who texts me and respond. And, this is like we always say, set boundaries.
Yeah.
Maybe say to Julie, you know, you text me a lot and I've always loved chatting with you. But when you said that I was online too much, you know what? You were right. And answering texts immediately is one of the things that I'm going to cut back on. So I just wanted you to have a heads up.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. To me, it sounded like Julie was insulting the way she was being, like the kind of mother she was.
Yeah.
It just felt really deep, that cut.
Yeah. I was going to say that I don't think Julie is really your friend.
I don't either.
I think she's a frenemy. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, maybe she's had moments of greatness, but, to say basically that, you know, you're not as good a mother because you're online so much.
Yeah.
How dare she?
That's what I got from what she was saying.
Yeah.
That's why you're so insulted. A friend who is too available. That's why.
Yeah. You should be insulted.
Yeah.
You know, and this kind of apology, when I know, like when someone says, look, I'm really sorry for what I said, it's human nature to say, it's fine, even when it's not fine. I think you should revisit this with Julie. Mm-hmm. Maybe write to her rather than speak to her, mm-hmm. and say, you know, I appreciate you apologizing, but the more I've thought about it, the more it stung, because you are at once criticizing me for being online, mm-hmm. and two, ask me a lot, lean on me a lot, mm-hmm. all through the internet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you speak out of both sides of your mouth, and the implication that people who spend, you know, time online are shorting their families, you know, maybe you had a point.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it still felt very cruel and personal.
Right. Especially as she was the person, yeah. taking up a lot of your time, as
right.
you say.
Right.
It's a little ironic there.
Regarding the shower.
Oh my God.
Wow. Wow.
That's just, I wrote Julie, holy macaroni. I mean, she just, what was that?
What the heck was that? That to me shows you exactly who Julie is.
Precisely.
She is self-centered.
Yeah.
She is materialistic.
Yeah.
She is controlling.
Yeah.
And she's telling Tammy first and then you, you are not good enough.
And she has no compunction about doing that. She is no problem making her friend feel bad for, like, giving her this shower.
Right. I mean, Tammy, you know, you don't go into a party that your friend threw for you and say, move that, change that, move here, I hate that,
incredible.
Get rid of that. That, I mean, that is like Real Housewives kind of bitchery.
It really is.
And we are about girl power defeating bitchery.
Exactly.
So I also hated the way she apologized.
That,
like, seems- oh, I had no idea why you were upset about the shower. That's a lie.
It is a lie.
She was willing to sacrifice Tammy's feelings to get the image that she wanted.
Yeah, she's the type of person who's very shoot first and apologize for it later.
Right. And, you know, her apologies suck.
They're not sincere. They're not real.
I mean, when you say, look, I'm sorry about the shower, but you're too sensitive and, you know, you're immature and it takes you too long to get over this. Wow. That's shifting the blame.
Yes.
That's negating the apology.
Yes.
Julie sounds like she has no empathy.
None.
She wants all the attention, all the sympathy. And then, you know, when Tammy actually did a very mature thing and stepped away from that relationship.
I appreciate that.
Which,
she did that.
Like, kudos to Tammy.
No kidding.
Julie just felt sorry for herself. She didn't take this opportunity to look inward and say, wow, Tammy was hurt enough that she ended our friendship.
Right.
And we've been friends a long time. Maybe I need to do some soul searching here.
Yeah.
Instead, she just became the victim.
She did.
And guess who was there to pick up the pieces? You.
You, which, I mean, you should have known from the shower this was the kind of person you were dealing with. I mean, look at everything that Tammy did for Julie for the shower.
Yeah.
She decorated the party, the stage, the hall. She cooked.
I know.
All the food. Unbelievable. Planned the games, invited everyone. I mean, it's an incredible amount of generosity that she showed Tammy. And that Tammy was like, sorry, these are ugly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
No, Julie sounds like someone who's very status conscious.
Yeah.
And always puts herself first. So too available.
Mm-hmm.
Jess and I are warning you.
Yes.
She has shown you exactly who she is.
Yes.
Pay attention.
Yes. I mean, she may be treating Tammy like this one day, and it's just a matter of time before she's treating you like this the next day, as you see, mm-hmm. when she said that you're online too much and implied that you're kind of a bad mom. It's yeah. like going in that direction.
Yeah. And she won't stop there, as no. you've seen. If you, you know, don't expect her to say, when you say, this hurt me, mm-hmm. and this is why, you take advantage of me being available,
mm-hmm.
but then you criticize me for it and say that I'm not giving enough to my family, and then say, oh, no, I didn't mean you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but, you know, I'm not stupid.
Yeah.
And that hurt me a lot. And yet you did have a point.
Right.
So therefore, you're the first change I'm going to make.
I think that's genius.
You know, really, just say, so I will check texts from you once a week.
Yeah.
And, you know, talk to you soon.
Yeah.
She is not going to say, gosh, I know you, I'm so sorry. I appreciate and respect that. And I think that's a good decision. She's either going to not respond at all,
mm-hmm.
and give you the cold shoulder,
mm-hmm.
or she's going to present you with a list of your flaws, mm-hmm. as perceived by her.
Get super, super defensive. But I love Kristen's ideas of checking once a week. The best way for you to do this is put her on do not disturb.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. And then once a week you take her off and yeah. see what's been going on.
I have a group text and there's probably 25 texts a day. Oh, it's important.
Yeah.
We have a friend in the hospital. But I don't want every 15 minutes to get an update.
Yeah.
I called the nurse's station and no one answered. What do I do? You know,
right.
So I silenced that conversation.
Yeah.
And I check it when it is convenient to me.
Absolutely.
Because I have a family.
Yes.
I have a job.
Right.
And so, yeah, that's one way. Now, yeah. two available. I want to talk to you about sleep training.
Oh, yes. All right. Let me just okay. be quiet here. Go on ahead, Kristen.
All right. So yes. as a mother of two,
yes.
two children who slept from 7 p.m. till 7 a.m. plus a 2-hour nap
mm.
at that age,
impressive.
I'm going to tell you how to get your son to go to sleep. And this is just years of experience as a nanny, babysitter, cousin, watching my aunts do it right, and then mom. You have, so sleep training is you want your kid to sleep through the night. And you first of all have to realize that what you're going to teach him is comforting himself, either mm. through like sucking his thumb or cuddling with his bear or blankie, because you want to give him that gift
mm-hmm.
of self-soothing
mm-hmm.
so that he can roll over in the middle of the night and not sob for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if we all did that, we'd be so miserable and sleep deprived. So the way my pediatrician recommended and the way that has worked for every person I've told this to
mm-hmm.
is your baby cries and you go in and you say, let's say his name is Joshua. Joshua, it's okay. Mommy's here. Go back to sleep. Everything is fine. Go back to sleep. And you leave the room. He keeps crying. 20 minutes later, you go in, tell him the same thing. You leave the room, let him cry for an hour. And each night you let him cry for longer
mm-hmm.
and realize like my crying is not going to bring mommy in right away.
Mm.
So I'm going to have to figure it out myself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I did this when my baby was 9 months old
mm-hmm.
and it took 3 nights.
Wow. Well, this baby's 2.5.
This is going to take, it's going to take a little longer,
mm-hmm.
but think of what you're giving him. You're giving him the gift of a good night's sleep.
And yourself, which you desperately need. You
desperately need. And you know, no wonder you go to your office and say, this is me time.
I know. Which is outrageous. I know. You absolutely need sleep. You shouldn't be depriving yourself. I love this idea.
Yeah.
I think it's and, fabulous.
So, you know, you can look it up. There are different ways of doing it. But I got to tell you, it works fast.
Mm-hmm.
Even though that first night I did not sleep at all
mm.
because my baby was crying.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I was going to ask, isn't that hard to listen to?
It's the worst psychologically.
Yeah.
It is the worst sound a human can hear is
yeah.
a baby crying.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And when it's your own, you know, I was drenched in sweat.
Oh, my goodness.
But the first night it took like 40 minutes. The next night it took 20.
Right.
The night after that, she was asleep by herself.
Oh, fantastic.
And having a kid who sleeps well is a gift to you both.
Yes.
To all three of you.
Yeah.
And I would also tell your husband that you need a little time. You know, that you can't go from working full time to coming home and taking care of everything that mothers take care of. That you need, you know, let's say an evening a week where he takes the baby to his mom's mm-hmm. or takes the baby to the park. Mm-hmm. He's not a baby anymore. He can go to a park, mm-hmm. just a long walk in the stroller, backpack. I always loved backpacking my kids. Mm-hmm. Where you get to maybe make a cup of tea, read a book. Read Crappy Friends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Love the promo there.
We really think that there's a lot for you to learn about Julie by reading the book Crappy Friends.
Yes.
And just, you know, be in your house alone while you're not just on Instagram.
Right.
While you're not on Facebook. Where you're maybe not online. Because right. Julie might have had a point that you're relying too much on your online interactions. And, you know, maybe do a little yoga relaxation. Maybe you can grab a nap, but start making a little more division between work, family, online.
Yeah.
Start like to make that. A little room for, I think I'm going to, you know, take a bath. Yeah. I'm going to have a glass of wine. I'm going to do some yoga or, you know, weed the flower bed.
Yeah.
Just something that's not related to the computer or your toddler.
Yeah, I think the thing about your phone or computer is it's a little bit mindless. I set on my phone the limits for social media, which I love. And maybe you could do that too, to available. Just this thing, maybe Julie did have a point, and just see if you set those limits an hour that you get, that's it. That's all you get for social media.
Yeah.
And see how much you're actually doing.
And we'll include texting with friends as well, because that is another way. I mean, Jess and I text each other all the time, and we can lose, you know, half an hour, 45 minutes. We could have had a conversation and reduced that time.
Yeah.
Or we could have just, you know, I'll tell you about it on Saturday when we get together.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
but start to make a little more room for you in your life. Be a good friend to yourself.
Yeah.
And start to inch away from Julie. I think if you talk to her, she will view it as, now you've betrayed me too.
Which you're not the only one. There's Tammy, for one thing, who's in that club.
And the I'm other sure friend who was in the group too.
Yeah.
Sounds like Julie only has you.
Millie. Yeah.
And so you have Millie and Tammy and Julie, you know.
Yeah.
You're not the peacekeeper. You're not the United Nations. You're just a person trying to raise a son and hold down a job and have a happy marriage. And those are a lot of things.
Yeah.
So you make that distance. You make like a little bubble around yourself and your family. And it will get easier when your son goes to school. You'll have more time. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe, I don't know if you're working from home or what, you know, it's, working from home is just as hard as working at an office, if not harder.
Yes.
But, you know, things are getting better.
Yeah.
And your son is getting older, and life will be easier. But until then, you have to take care of yourself.
First. That's your priority. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
First.
And, you know, being able to identify a friend who needs everything and is so self-centered and so self-focused, it happens in inches, right, Jess?
It really does. And she's already, like, her poor husband just went and changed the decorations.
Yeah.
So she has already in her household people who are willing to encourage this kind of really bad behavior, selfish behavior, this materialistic behavior.
Yeah.
She doesn't need friends to help to do that either.
Right. And if, you know, if she says, well, now I have no friends, you know, that's her problem.
It really is. That's not supposed to guilt you into then, you know, putting up with her nonsense and being her friend.
And, you know, maybe in the letter you're going to send to her or text that you're going to send to her, maybe you say, you know, this happened already with you and Tammy.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I don't want it to happen to us. So I'm going to put up these boundaries.
Yeah.
But, you know, you'd also don't want to die by a thousand paper cuts.
Right, right, right.
You know?
Right.
These kind of friends, I say they suck up all the air in the room.
They really do.
You know, and it's always about them and you know, I wonder if you look back at your postpartum anxiety, I wonder if Julie was really a good friend at that time. And if she was it because she felt a little superior because maybe she didn't have that issue?
Interesting.
Or was she, oh yeah, me too. Let me talk about myself.
Right.
So I wonder about how the group dynamic was in the, even in the good old days.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, reach out to Tammy. I wonder if she's feeling better not having Julie as a friend or not having to interact with her as much.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want to descend into gossip.
You don't, but I mean,
you can also say, you know, Tammy, I had a little experience that might've been similar to yours. And I just wondered, like, yeah. How did it feel when right. you stepped away?
Right.
And
how are you doing now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you that. Know, and she might say, oh, I really miss the good old days, but
yeah.
you know, those days are over now.
Right.
And you do have to remember what Joss and I say so often is friendships end.
Yeah.
And it, not all friendships end, but right. not all friendships last till death
right.
either. And it may be that this friendship with Julie is coming to an end.
Could be, because, you know, it seems like the only things, you really don't have that much in common, to be honest.
I have to say, when I when I read this letter, when you sent it to our inbox, I thought, why are you friends with Julie?
Yeah.
There's nothing there. About how she was great.
Yeah.
You say the group was great.
Yeah.
And it helped you kind of stay sane. And you all had that university thing in common, which you right. no longer have.
Right.
And you all had babies.
Babies. But I mean,
is that enough?
Is that enough? Yeah. You all have husbands. Is that enough right. to like really keep you together? And it turns out it's not. Tammy's gone.
Yeah.
It's not enough.
Yeah. So we would love to hear back from you two available.
Oh, my goodness.
And see what you chose to do
yeah.
and how it went. If you chose to do nothing, how that's going, if
right.
it's the same old, same old. And if you did choose that, I wonder why.
Yeah.
Why you would choose to put up with crappy behavior
yeah.
that makes you feel bad about yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean, sometimes these drama mamas and attention whores are really interesting.
Yeah, but if you're interested in her to the detriment of your own, you know,
yeah.
emotional well-being, that's too much. So you have yeah. to recognize that also.
Yes.
But I like the idea. It's baby step. Just, I'm going to check once a week these texts and that's it.
Yeah.
And that's a nice sort of baby step away from her.
Right.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you it will feel like a reprimand to Julie, which
yeah.
is exactly what it is.
Yes. Which is what she needs.
She needs it. You need to set the boundaries.
Yes.
And she needs to know that, you know, she was right.
Yeah.
You do need to spend more time with your family.
Yes.
And Julie, you're not family.
Yes.
So, yeah, we'd love to hear back from you two available and wish you the best, sweetheart.
Yeah.
Thank you for writing and listening.
I know. Good luck with the baby.
Yeah. Oh. You know, if you want to send us a picture, we'd love that. So 2.5.
Yeah.
They're just so delicious at that age. I was so Joss.
Yes.
I have an embarrassing personal
what?
Problem.
Really?
Yes.
We've been so free
I know
of
we've
embarrassment.
Been so full of grace, poise, and elegance.
I think it's because you can't really leave the house.
We haven't been set out in the wild, right? So my EPP came from, we have this running joke in the family about how we should have family waxing night, right? Because we are a hairy people. You know, I guess as the faithful listeners know, my mother's nickname for me was her little gorilla baby because I was covered in hair when
yeah.
I was born. And I have really hairy arms and legs and like have to shave my legs every other day in the summer. And so like I have upon occasion, like had my face waxed,
yeah.
the stash,
yeah.
the whiskers,
sure.
My hands get very hairy and
your
I have like
hand.
Man hand hair.
Hands.
I have man hair on my hands.
Wow.
So my daughter bought the family waxing kit for Christmas and we all had a hearty laugh over it.
Right.
And then I said to dearest son, I was going to wax my eyebrows, you know, it was in the upstairs bathroom. So I was like, can I have the family wax? So I did. I waxed my eyebrows and they looked great.
Yeah.
So then I decided, why not do my hairy man arms?
Sure.
Sure. So I'm scraping it up.
Yeah.
Smearing it on. It feels very nice. It's warm.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking like I'm getting the hang of it.
Yeah.
And then I go to rip it off.
And that's
I'm showing
why
you my arm.
You're all cut up
I have
like that?
Three scabs.
You pulled up skin. Jeez Louise.
And I was at first like, oh, that hurt more than I thought.
Yeah.
Wow. But my whole arm was covered.
Yeah.
So I had to get rid of the wax. So I had to rip it all up. And so like sometimes you rip it and then it starts ripping another part and you weren't prepared for it. So now I have scabby.
She's all scabby.
Bloody
yeah.
arms.
She looks like she's been in some shit, Kristen has.
Less,
like, really know, been in a fight there.
Sometimes you go to a professional for a reason.
They know what they're doing.
It's this pandemic.
So let me ask, who else in the family uses the family waxing kit?
Well, I was going to wax McIrish's back. You know, as a sign of love and devotion.
As you do.
That's what one does.
Yeah.
And I have to say, yeah. like, when we went to, we went to Hawaii a mm-hmm. few years ago, a big family vacation, dream vacation, absolutely fabulous. And he got his back waxed. And I was appreciative. And I said, like, he's muscular and
right.
broad shouldered. I was like, hey, look really nice. Like, he looks younger without, like, the grandfather patches.
Yeah. Coming out his butt. Was it like 40-year-old virgin or where were
no,
they?
It wasn't it's that bad? Back hair.
It was the back
chest hair. Chest hair, I think, would be very painful.
Very painful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, we women, we get like every part waxed sometimes.
Don't we though?
And so I have no sympathy for any of his
yeah,
pain.
Right.
So actually on my way back today, I will be stopping at Sally Beauty Supply.
Pick up some more
wax. Thanks for listening. Send your letters to theladies@crappyfriends.net and please consider leaving us a review.
Crappy Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Joss Day.
And we're best friends
forever.